The food in home was very much Sephardic. I've just taken a book, a recipe book that was given when I got married. That was traditional, the way they did it, with food. And I was going through it and remembering all the food. My grandmother didn't work. She raised us, and she obviously cooked. My mother was very happy with that arrangement. So all the food we ate at home until she passed away was mainly Sephardic food. Bulgarian, stuffed pepper, burekas, and some of the food that I saw here was, that is in this book. I recognize it from the food I ate. Mm. Mainly in Passover, that was traditional food that was ate in Passover. I think the food would have been definitely different. First of all, gefilte fish. There is no way I would have eaten gefilte fish. Sweet. I mean, I had a bit of a shock when I came to other families and realized they were eating gefilte fish, sweet gefilte fish. We ate rice in Passover, which I understand Ashkenazi don't. I think, I mean, this is my experience, I might be wrong, but the people I raised with really were religious, but not to the extreme. I mean, I had stories, not myself, of playing football on Saturday. That was allowed. in Yafo, which is a very Bulgarian city, or used to be, that was allowed. There was a tradition of religious adherence, but with a bit of common sense and very much open to other people and not so restricted.
And for Pesach, instead of having charoset, which is, I think they dip, they have charoset, they dip the honey and whatever. We have the most wonderful thing called halek, which is made from the extracts of dates. And even my Ashkenazi, like my daughter-in-law and son-in-law, they absolutely love it. I mean, it's very, very delicious. I think the Baghdadi cuisine is just unbelievably delicious.
I've learned all my cooking from my mum. And our cuisine was mainly vegetarian. I mean, they had fish and some meat occasionally. But my childhood, Israel in the 50s, was extremely poor. It was like, we didn't have electricity, we didn't have running water. So everything was by hand. So that obviously affected your food supply as well. So they didn't have, like, I remember that when chickens, I mean, I'm vegetarian from birth probably, but when meat came out, it was quite, because those days you would queue up with a book, and you'd get like oil supply and flour supply, and because, they weren't self-sufficient yet. And some of the money was a bit of paper with a Star of David on, a little one that was like a penny. You know, all these kind of tricks. And then they had a penny that wasn't whole. It was just a hole in the middle to save on the metal.
But my grandmother was the biggest superstition. So my oldest daughter, when she was born, we couldn't hang, you do the washing. In Israel, the weather is very nice, warm. You hang it out, the washing to dry. You couldn't do that at night. You're not allowed to do that. I had to take it down, damp or not. I had to take it down. Because the devil will take a child where, if he sees their clothes hanging out there, before her teeth came out. After the teeth came out, you can do that. My grandmother, she might have been very loving, but she, even though I was already married with a child, right? My own person, independent, my own career, she still ruled the roost. And from Jerusalem, where she lived, to Beersheba, where I lived, she could see me hanging the laundry at night. So you can ask my husband, I had to take it down. The other one is, you need to hang, I think even the Arabs do that, there is a color, Oh, the colour of your...
Turquoise.
The colour of your shirt. This is, again, against evil eye. And you have to hang something with that colour near the bed where the baby sleeps. And she gave us that, which we had to do, hang it on there, near the cot of the baby, where the head is, against evil eye.
And you did?
Of course I did. I always listened to my grandmother. There was no question of.
As a child, my dad used to use all sorts of, I would call them kind of spells to ward off, let's say, if I had a nightmare. I mean, I would draw a circle of water around the bed and repeat a certain sentence three times, and every time you put a grain of sugar on the tongue and say, you're going to go sleep now. And it would be magic. Este que no hizo mal, mal que no lo toque. En todo el mal que se vaya a la mar. What it means, this one that hasn't done any evil, evil should not touch it. Okay, that's the power of symmetry. Because only if you do evil, evil can touch you. If you don't do evil, he won't touch you. He's got no power over you. Okay? And a child, they don't do evil. And all the evil should go to the sea. Because water has the capacity to cleanse. That's the whole idea of mikveh. First of all, you do a circle around the bed of water. Repeat it three times. And the importance of three, it's the first stability in the mystical world. It's one plus one gives you three immediately. Like in chords, in music. You play two notes together, you get a chord. Where I grew up, I mean, at the time, in the 50s, it was very, very primitive. We didn't have many services. And at the end of the street, there was a woman that we called Regina. And everybody knew her as the witch. And she would have all these herbs growing in the garden. And if you had any problems, you would go to Regina. My cousin and I were kind of playing around, and there was a plum tree in the garden of one of the houses. The plums weren't ready, but we still, you know, went for them. And the next thing, I see my cousin going blue. And I've kind of like, I realized that he's got a plum stuck in his throat and he can't breathe. So I quickly ran to his mum and my mum. They used to share the same yard. And they came running, and he's going like blue by the minute. And they come to Regina. And Regina, as cold as a fish, you know, just drops his trousers down, puts some lubricant on her finger, and shoves it up his ass. And as she does that, the plum just flies out of his mouth.
But the childhood memories, I know very, very, especially from the Mizrahi side, is there. So all the holidays, all the singing, special ceremonies, they all relate to festivals. So Passover, you have different, you have a plate and you have different kind of foods. And each food resembles something that relates to the story that you tell in the Agadah. And one of them is an egg. Normally, in a lot of Ashkenazi family, you have one egg, you know, in a bowl. But with the Mizrahi, where I come from, you had like a whole basket with all the stuff of the food. So you have like a lot of eggs, like a bowl with a lot of eggs. And as a kids, we used to kind of have a fight, like who cracks first. So that was a game. And then we open the eggs and we eat them and what have you. The other one was in Purim, which is a bit like Halloween. You dress up. In the Mizrahi culture, they do a mixture of cinnamon, sugar, crushed almonds. So you have that, and they They bring all the little kids, bring their little fingers, and they pour oil on top of the finger for luck, and it drops of your finger drop to the bowl, and then you mix all the stuff, and it's this kind of really fragrant, sweet, very tasty, kind of very healthy, and you eat it. All the songs that we used to sing in all the celebration are coming from the Mizrahi culture, North African, and you know, from Morocco, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt. In Passover, the Ashkenazi are very strict in what they eat. They wouldn't eat rice or pulses or something, the Ashkenazi. The Mizrahi will eat rice, will eat pulses in Passover.